Good morning. Good morning to each one. Glad to have you with us today at Sunday morning service here at Central. Always good to get together. Great to see fellow members. Also great to see visitors and guests. You are very welcome. We're glad you've joined us today. We're glad for those who may be joining us by means of streaming, either audio or video. Welcome to you. Glad to have you. It's always great to get together on these occasions and worship God together. Each day is a gift from God. Today's a gift from God. He gives it to us. It's a blessing. And he doesn't dictate to us how we spend that day. That's up to our own free will. And we commend each one of you for making the right decision, the good decision today, to come to worship. While he doesn't dictate to us how we spend our day, he does call upon us together, to assemble together, to worship him. And that's what we're doing today, and we're glad to have you join us as we do that. And now let's put all other things aside and let's concentrate on giving the best of our worship to God Almighty. Let's do that now.
Good morning, everyone. If convenient, please stand and join me in singing our first hymn. Hymn number 6.
Oh,
Our next hymn will be hymn number 75. 75. Before we go to the Lord in prayer, we'll be singing hymn number 837.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you are awesome. And Father, we do not deserve to be able to have this kind of conversation with you. We do not deserve to have the lines of communication open that we do. Father, you are so high above us. And Father, who are we? And yet you love us, you care for us, even though we constantly pull away, we constantly do what is right in our own eyes. The bad that we don't want to do, we do, and the good we want to do, we end up not doing. But Father, you are long-suffering. You have shown us by your mighty works the fact that you are willing to forgive, that you are willing to bring back, that you are willing to suffer along with us. And Father, we thank you for that. And so, Father, when we sing that we need you every hour, that is not an exaggeration. Father, we need you every minute of the day. We need you to be there with us. We need you to guide us. And we need you to help us. Father, we know Paul says that we don't even know how to pray as we ought. And yet, you direct our steps. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for being the God that you are. We thank you for who you are in your holiness, your perfection, and again, your loving kindness. And so, Father, now we pray that as we go into this worship session, Father, we pray that it's not another checkbox, but Father, we pray that in our relationship with you, that we will pour our hearts out to you, telling you how thankful we are for you. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Before we go to the Lord in prayer, we'll be singing hymn number 200. 200.
Thank you. Morning. The children's training class is ready to go this morning. If you'd like to take your children to that, you can do so now. Scripture reading this morning will be taken from the 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 15. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 12 through 15. And what am I doing? I will continue to do. In order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds.
We tend to take for granted things that are very precious until we don't have them. I say that because Mark, reading the scripture this morning, made me think of that. He's been through cataract surgery and some further things that caused him to be without vision for a while. And it looks like he's doing well now based on his reading of the scripture. I know Mike Higginbotham has also been down that road recently, and probably others of you have been in that situation as well. But it's best that we recognize our blessings and appreciate them, like being able to come together as we're doing right now and worship God Almighty. God is truly wonderful. He is worthy of all of our praise, and it's a blessing to be able to come together as we're doing right now. And we're so glad that you are with us today. We have a good number for the first Sunday of the new year, and we're glad you're here. We have several who are visiting with us. I've met a few of you already, and hope others will be looking for you as well. And just know that you're welcome anytime that you're able to come and be with us. But today I'm going to have to run out again. This is my Sunday to preach up at the prison, and we're on a pretty tight timeline to get up there and be ready to go. So I'll be leaving right after the sermon is finished, if the preacher doesn't preach too long. Know that I want to meet you next time I'm here, if I don't get to meet you today. But the rest of you just join in and be ambassadors. And this evening, Lord willing, at 6 o'clock, we'll be meeting again to worship God. Josh is going to be preaching tonight, and I know he'll have something very worthwhile, so I urge you to make every effort to come out and join us at 6 o'clock. Always glad to have all of you online with us as well. We appreciate the fact that you are joining us in worship and wish you could be with us in person, but until that day comes, if it comes, we are thankful that you're doing this. But now let's all get our Bibles out. Let's open them, turn them on, whatever you need to do, and let's get into the Word of God. I really want you to follow the passages that are going to be listed on the screen. Make sure that everything I say comes from the Word of God. I try to do that, but I want you to help and just put your faith in God's Word and not in a preacher. The Word of God is always true. A few weeks ago, Merriam-Webster.com made the announcement that they make every year about the Word of the Year. It is for 2023 they were making the announcement. And they said the Word of the Year for 2023 is authentic. That's the word. Authentic is the Word of the Year. And why did they choose that? Well, here's part of what they wrote on their website. With the rise of artificial intelligence, and we've been hearing about that quite a bit, haven't we? With the rise of artificial intelligence and its impact on deep fake videos, actors' contracts, academic honesty, and a vast number of other topics, the line between real and fake has become increasingly blurred. And thus they say more and more people in 2023 were looking up that word authentic. Exactly what does it mean? How can we identify it? And that's a good thing, isn't it? I mean, most of us want to have what is authentic. We don't like being deceived. But let me give you an example of how this works, and you can go to it sometime later. Don't do it right now, please. But there's a website called moondisaster.org. Moondisaster.org. And there's a video you can watch that looks like, you know, back in 1969 when Apollo 11 made that shot into the air to take the first astronauts to land on the moon. And it shows all of that, pieces of it. And then it shows President Nixon reading a message to the nation saying that it is a tragedy what has happened to Apollo 11. Those two men that landed on the moon, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, they will not be able to return to Earth. They knew the risk when they were leaving Earth, and they accepted that. And we're thinking, wait a minute, that's not how that happened. Well, actually, the speech was written in the event that a tragedy occurred when the module landed on the moon. The speech was written for President Nixon to read on the air. But he never made that speech. Thankfully, he didn't have to, and that film was never made. But wait a minute, we're looking at it on this website. That's what we call deep fake video. Deep fake uses the most modern technology to take people's images and make it look like they're saying things that they in actuality never said. And that's kind of disturbing, isn't it? There's a lot of ramifications for that, and we all know that could go in some very bad directions. Well, it's a good thing that people are concerned about finding out what is authentic. And thus, for 2024, I've decided, with the approval of the elders, to make this our theme. The first Sunday of each month, the first Sunday morning, we will be looking at various areas in which authentic ought to be something we're very concerned about. And so this morning, we're going to go right to the heart of the problem. We're going to look at what it is that makes this a problem and why the problem exists and how can we even know if there is anything we can trust or not. So let's get into the Word and find out about this idea. Now let's begin by talking about the source of deep fakes and deceptions. The source of deep fakes and deceptions. You know as well as I do that deception has become a fact of life more than ever, it seems. I get a call on my phone and it tells me where it's coming from. And it says it's from this very community in which I live. And I think, well, maybe that's somebody that's reaching out to the church, wants to have a Bible study, or wants to come visit with us. And so I answer the call. And yet it turns out it is a marketer. It is a telemarketer. And they're probably somewhere across the country or another country. And I quickly hang up when I realize the deception. And it happens as well on the internet. We have been advised to be very careful the links you click on, because that link that looks so safe may actually open your computer to where now they can find sensitive information on your computer and take it for themselves. So be very careful. Even though you think it's coming from a trusted company, it may not be. And so we've had to become skeptics in this world of deception. Now, where does that all come from? We don't like it. We're all angry when it happens. Where does it come from? Well, the Bible tells us. The Bible doesn't mention deep fake videos, but it does talk a lot about deception. In fact, go to John chapter 8 and verse 44, and here's the quick answer on where all of this comes from. And you know it, I'm confident. You already know the answer to this. But in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus was addressing his enemies. And here's a statement he makes about those enemies. He says, "You're of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So Satan is the source of all of this. Yeah, that scam phone call you got, that link that you clicked on that you immediately wished you hadn't, he's the father of all of that, plus a whole lot more. It goes back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. You know this. Here is Adam and Eve living in a very perfect place on earth. It is a world that is just ideal. The climate obviously had to be good. There were no briars or thorns. There was no illness. There was no death. There's a lot of good things about it. And yet God said, this one thing you must not do, do not eat of that tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A serpent comes along and begins speaking to Eve. And I don't know why that immediately didn't raise red flags to Eve, but here he is talking to her, questioning, did God really say that to you? And she says, well, yeah, God told us we should not eat of the tree or even touch it. I don't know if that's really what God said, but she said that to the serpent. And here's what he says in return, Genesis 3, verse 4. It's a very simple statement. You will not surely die. You will not surely die if you eat of that tree. And then he went on to say, God knows you'll become like him. And so God's kind of holding out on you. That was a lie. It was a deception. And Eve fell for it. Adam fell for it as well. And because of that, sin entered this world. Deception. He is the father of lies and all deception. It would be like us if we were somewhere and a friend picks up a glass and we know what's in the glass. It's something very dangerous, and yet they think it's a harmless drink. Do you think this is okay for me to drink? Yeah, sure, go ahead. We're lying because we know the truth about what's in that cup. And we may be the cause of their death. We may be guilty of murder. We might say, wait a minute, I didn't kill them. I didn't shoot them or stab them. But you deceived them. You lied. Exactly the same thing the serpent did to Eve on that occasion. And so you see, it's a very serious thing. And what about that serpent? Who is this serpent? Revelation 12, verse 9 gives us the answer. We learn about him in the first book of the Bible. We identify him in the last, although we know him much sooner than that. But in Revelation 12 and verse 9, we're told about this war that breaks out in heaven. And Satan and his angels are quickly overcome. And it says this in Revelation 12, verse 9, the great dragon was thrown down, dragon, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So there's who the serpent is. He took on a form that would immediately, would maybe not raise suspicion. It would with me. I don't like snakes. But apparently at that time, snakes were not such a bad thing. But that's how he appeared to Eve, and he deceived her. But not just her. Notice again what it says. He is the deceiver of the whole world, meaning he's still at it. He is still doing his best to bring us under his spell and to lead us away from the truth. And I want us to go back to that passage that Mark read to us earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, because here it appears is the a deep fake. Now, the word deep fake didn't appear in the English language until 2017. It is a pretty new word, but that's exactly what we're looking at in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11, and I'm going to begin in verse 12. Paul said, what I do, I'll continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do. Now, at first you say, wait a minute, that sounds like Paul is jealous, or Paul is a little sinister in his methods. He's trying to undermine the work of others. Why would he do that? Well, he tells us. He says in verse 13, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. I think that qualifies as a deep fake, don't you? Because it looks like they are servants of righteousness. Even Satan himself looks like an angel of light. Oh, wow, this is all right. Couldn't be anything bad in listening to him, could there? Watch out. He is a deceiver. He disguises himself. And that's the source of all the deception. That's why people in 2023, more than in recent times, are saying, I need to know about authentic. I want to know what is really real, what is genuine. I don't want to be faked anymore. I want to have what is true. Now, you know as well as I do that many people in the world laugh at the idea of Satan. A 2023 Gallup poll found that 53% of Americans believe in the devil. That's actually higher than I thought it would be. 53%, which means 47%, laugh at the idea, and I'm not sure how much that 53% believes in it, but the idea is there's a lot of people that will just say, what are you talking about? A devil. I mean, yeah, there's evil influence, there's the force, as they say in Star Wars, but the devil, no, come on, get with it. But you know, that's just what Satan wants us to do. Satan wants us to laugh at the idea that there is someone who is trying to turn us away from the truth. C.S. Lewis in his Screwtape Letters has that very thing where Wormwood is telling his nephew, you know, if you can get them to just laugh at the idea of the devil, you've got it, because they're not going to be on guard. They don't think they have an enemy. And therefore, make them laugh at the idea. And that's just what Satan wants us to do, is to not take him seriously. But the Bible is very clear. There is a Satan, there is a devil, and we need to be aware that he is the source of all the deception, all the fakery that is going on in the world. Well, let's talk now about the quest for authenticity. If we're really wanting what is authentic, where will that lead us? It'll lead us to God, if you're going to follow it through all the way, and I hope you will. A quest for authenticity leads us to God. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, here's an image that describes God. Images help us because we know the basis of the image, and this is what God is like, John is saying. John says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. No darkness, pure light. Now, in this room, there is light, isn't there? You can look around and say, well, yeah, obviously there's light. But can you not also say there are places where there is darkness in this room? Yeah, under the pews, it's not quite as light as it is elsewhere. In various places, you can look on the wall, some places are brighter than others. With God, he is pure light. And that simply says there is nothing Satan-like about God. I'm so happy to hear that. There's no tricks up his sleeve. There's no agenda that God has with us, trying to lure us into something that will be beneficial for him but harmful to us. That's not God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So that means that when we come to his word, the Bible, when we come to his word, what God says can be trusted. What God says in his word can be trusted. Let me show you just three or four passages. There's plenty of others that we could add to this list, But these will help you to see very quickly the Bible makes this claim that God is authentic. God is true. For example, Psalm 119, verse 160. Psalm 119, verse 160 says it very well. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. You know, we could say that about some things that man has come up with. They're true now, but 100 years from now, we know better now. Medicine, you know, we could talk about that. Scientific principles or the way to do certain things, we could say, well, here's the way to do it, and it's right. But then later on, we find out, no, that wasn't right. It's very different than that. But here it says, God's word is true. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endure forever. The Bible is not going to be outdated. The Bible is not going to be outdated, though people think it is. No, it isn't. It speaks timelessly about things that we need to know. Proverbs 30 is another place you could look at that says it very well, very clearly. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, we have a fellow named Agur that is speaking here. And he says this about the word of God. Every word of God proves true. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. So he says, everything God has said is true. And if we say, well, that's good, but I'm going to add to it. It doesn't really say some of the things I want it to say. I'll just put some more things in it. You're going to be found a liar, Agur said. And I think that's right. That's obviously right. It's been preserved for us by inspiration. And so let's be content with what God has given us in his word and not add to it or take away from it. John 17, 17. Here's Jesus speaking. This is in the prayer he prays the night that he will be arrested. John chapter 17 and verse 17, he's thinking about his followers. That's a large part of his prayer there. It's been called the high priestly prayer. John 17, 17, sanctify them in the truth. And if somebody says, like Pilate did to Jesus later, what is truth? Here Jesus tells us, your word is truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Boy, that's so important for us to know. Because when I pick up this book and read it, when I open it up on my app, however I come to it, these words have been given to us by God. And they're true. And that means I latch onto them, I hold onto them, I don't let go for any reason. Now, of course, anybody can make a claim. And that's what deceivers do. They say, well, I'm telling you the truth. I remember very clearly somebody telling me, I wouldn't sell you a bad car. Worst car I ever had. I don't know that he was deliberately telling me an untruth there, but it can happen. People can say, this is the way it is, and yet it isn't. Well, what about the Bible? Can we hold God to that same standard? Absolutely. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, look at verses 21 and 22. Here God says, you know, I don't want you to put up with false teachers. And the people may say, well, how do we know they're a false teacher? Good question. Here's the test. Deuteronomy 18, 21 and 22. If you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? You know, you're telling us don't listen to the false teachers. They're telling us they're speaking the word of God. How do we know that they're not? Here's what God said in verse 22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. So look at what he says. And if he makes predictions about the future, that's often a prominent feature of prophecy. If he says something is going to come to pass and yet it doesn't, you know they're false. Well, let's apply that to God and what he has given us in the Bible. There are so many predictions of the future you can find in the Bible. The future meaning future from the time the prophet made them. There's a few things yet that have not been fulfilled, but all of those things that were spoken that are to come to pass, did they? And do a study. Do a study of prophecy in the Bible. And you're going to come away saying, wow, how did they know that? How did those men know what they were saying would happen 100 years from then, 500 years, 1,000 years away from them? How did they get that knowledge? It came from God. And that's how you can know this book can be trusted. It is a book that has been given to us from God. And let's look at it from another angle. Go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 and 44. Here Jesus is talking about how you can know people, and we show ourselves. I mean, we may pretend to be something, but eventually what we really are is going to come out. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 and 44. For no good tree bears bad fruit. Notice that, a good tree, it's not going to bear bad fruit. Nor, again, does a bad tree bear good fruit. Verse 44, for each tree is known by its own fruit. If you're around somebody long enough, you're going to find out what they really are. I mean, you may think at first, wow, that's a really good person. And then you're around them for a while. Oh, I'm seeing things now I didn't see at first. And now I'm beginning to realize they're not the person I thought they were. Well, again, let's take that same test and apply it to God and His Word. What's going to come if we follow the will of God? Are we going to be losers? Are we going to be defrauded? Are we going to come away and say, false advertising, that was all bad stuff. I wish I'd never done that. Well, there are some people that may say that. But those that genuinely give God's will a chance in their lives are going to say, it's good. It's like the psalmist said, oh, taste and see that God is good. And when you do that, you're going to find that this is a good will. It is true, and God gave it to us so that we might live according to it. One other illustration that comes from a historical example, 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 6 and 7. We're talking about King Solomon here. And you know, the early years of King Solomon were his best. He was a great king in his early years. Later, it was a different story. But his fame reached all around. He had made the request of God, at God's invitation, give me wisdom. And God did. God made him wiser than any person on earth. And his fame spread. People from all around began hearing about Solomon. Well, the Queen of Sheba, that's who we're reading about now in 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 6 and 7. She comes a long distance and she says, I'm going to find out about this guy. I'm going to debunk this claim. I've got a lot of hard questions and riddles, and I'll find out. I'll bring it out. He's not what he's been purported to be. But she said to the king after visiting with him for a while, the report was true. The report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom. But I did not believe the reports until I came, and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpass the wisdom that I heard. Now, why do I bring that in? Because it's a principle that we need to apply to God and to His Word. Put Him to the test. Put God to the test. And how do you do that? You say, okay, I'm going to try what you're saying. And if you genuinely do that, your life is going to be transformed. Your life is going to change. Some of those things in the past that you wish had not been there, they're going to evaporate because the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. And so that's the idea. If I'm looking for something that is authentic, here it is, the Word of God. God Himself behind the Word of God. That's why we have the Word of God, is to lead us to Him. And when we come to God, we're going to find this is authentic. As I was preparing this lesson, I got a text claiming to be from a candidate in a high-profile election, and I have a little interest in this candidate. I almost clicked on it. And then I thought, wait a minute, let me check this out. Let me do a search on the internet. Are there others getting spam like this? And sure enough. And so I'm 97% sure that was spam. I deleted it. I got rid of it. It will do me no harm because I've gotten rid of it. But when the Word of God comes to you, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to delete it? Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Before you decide this is not real, this is not authentic, put it to the test. And you're going to find that God is good, God is true, and God wants what is best for you. That's why he gave us his son. Jesus didn't have to leave heaven. God had a plan to save us from our sins. Jesus was willing to be a part of that plan. And so he said, I'm coming down, I'm going to live among them for 33 years about, and I will remain true and spotless, without blemish before God. I will give my life, blood, for their sins so that they might be rescued, so that they might be forgiven. And that includes you. If you're not a Christian this morning, that includes you. And there may be something in some of your mind saying, you know, I really should think about doing that. I've been thinking about that. Maybe today, but then there's going to be another voice that says, well, let's not get into too big a rush. Let's think this through a while longer. This is really not the best day to do something like that. Do you know where that voice is coming from? Think about it. You have an opportunity this morning to confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son, to turn away from your sins, repenting of those sins, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That could happen this morning. Will it? Which voice will you heed? And if you've done that, have you really been following the Lord, or has the world lured you back into its path? And now you're involved in sin of various kinds. It's time to come home. It's time to repent and say, Lord, I have done terrible things. I've done sinful things. I want to be forgiven. And we'll pray with you. We're not going to judge you. God alone is the judge. We're going to rejoice that you have made the choice to come home. And so if we can help you in any way, we urge you to come as we stand together and sing.
Thank you.
seated.
Calvin's responded to the invitation this morning. Calvin has asked for our prayers. There's been some things that have happened in his family's life that have impacted him deeply, that have hurt him, that have caused him to have ill will and ill feelings. And sometimes these type of things that happen within the family, when there's no cause, there's no justification for these things. It's the work of the deceiver, as Tim mentioned this morning. And so Calvin comes to us this morning, and he said, I've got to let this go. He said, if I don't let this go, it's going to continue to hurt me, and it might hurt my family. And he has asked for our prayers and for our support, so that he can find some way through God's help and through his brothers and sisters here in this congregation to not only put this aside, but to once again become active, more active in the Lord's work. And I applaud that. That's an excellent example. And I think there's probably maybe some of us in here this morning that may be carrying some ill will because of something that's in our past that we probably should deal with, especially in a spiritual manner. Let's let this example that's been set before us this morning influence us as well. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father and our God, as we come before you just now, we ask, dear God, for the forgiveness of sins. Sins, dear God, that impede prayers, harm relationships, hurt families, and are the product of the father of lies. We appreciate Tim's lesson this morning on being authentic, and we appreciate, dear God, Calvin's response this morning as he comes asking, Father, for strength, for courage, dear God. He's asking for assistance in confronting these issues that he struggles with so that he might move forward. He might move forward in his Christian growth, in faith, and that he might become active in the work here, dear God. He might be able to not be distracted by these constant reminders of things that have been done that were wrong, dear God, things that were not acceptable in your sight. We pray that, first of all, that you would bless Calvin for this good response. We pray, dear God, that you would give him the strength that he needs to find that foundation to grow and to put these things aside. We pray for his family, dear God, during this time, as Calvin starts making his way back to church work, that he, dear God, would be blessed, that his family would support him, and that they would all be mutually blessed. And we're thankful this today, dear God, for this day that we've had in your house. This prayer we offer in Christ's name. Amen.
Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we'll be singing hymn number 763. 763.
Oh, my soul, let me walk with thee. Give glory, my As we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, I'd like to read a couple of verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the day you've given us and the blessings that we have. Thank you so much for the cross. Thank you for the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. And as we turn our attention and our hearts back to the cross, I pray that as we partake of this bread, we'll do so in a way that is pleasing to you. It's these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Would you also pray with me as we give thanks for the cup? Dear God and Heavenly Father, thank you again. Thank you again for the sacrifice that you made. Thank you again for the blood that was shed on our behalf. Dear God, as we take this cup, I pray that we'll do so in a way that is well-pleasing to you. It's these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. While we are still gathered here, let's go ahead and give thanks for the material blessings that we have, that they might be used in a useful purpose. Would you pray with me? Dear God and Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for who you are and what you've done for us. Dear God, we realize that the blessings that we have, they're not ours. We realize that they are yours. And we pray, dear God, that as we reflect back on the things that we have, that we might give and give with a cheerful heart, and that all the money that we bring in can be used to further your kingdom here on earth. Dear God, thank you again. It's these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's close with a prayer and a few announcements. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you have been honored and glorified in this service this morning. We ask that you go with us day by day. Help us to keep our focus on Christ, to walk in the way we should go, to follow those things that you would have us do. All this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we'd like for you to be aware of these announcements. There's an urgent need for 50 sponsors for children in Guatemala in the ABC program, and that is through Health Talents. The sponsorship costs $40 per month. See Andrew or Mary McCormick for more details. There will be a baby shower for Ivy, Nick, and baby boy Cunningham next Sunday, January 14th, from 2 until 3:30 in the old foyer. They are registered at Target and Amazon. Please sign up for to provide a meal for 708 College Ministry this semester. The sign-up sheet is on the message board. See Tim Haywood for more details. Be aware of these upcoming events here at Central. The Retired Men's Breakfast this Tuesday, January 9th at 9 a.m. Please sign the list if you can attend. Central's Redbirds will have their luncheon on Tuesday, January 9th at 11 a.m. at Golden Corral. The Dorcas Group will meet Wednesday, January 10th at 1. And Washed in the Word Ladies Bible Class will be held Thursday, January 11th at 10. Remember these in prayer. Sean Clevenger, that's the son of Ralph Clevenger, preacher for the Greenville, Tennessee Church of Christ, is at Vanderbilt Hospital after being diagnosed with lymphoma. Sean will need several and multiple rounds of chemotherapy. Prayers have been requested. Also, Betty Hamilton is at home and going through some very difficult health problems. She is being treated for an infection, but there are other issues also. Jan Shepherd was discharged on Saturday from the hospital after medications were adjusted to lower her heart rate. She will be scheduled soon for a heart ablation procedure. She asks that we continue our prayers for her. And Fred Oakley, who is an elder of the LaGrange, Indiana Church of Christ, has been diagnosed with early stage pancreatic cancer. This is the congregation Brenna Williams has called home for the last several months. She has grown very close to Fred and his wife, and they ask for our prayers. Let's leave with a reading of Jude 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. We are dismissed.